From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. There are new concerns about the impact of radiation from Japan's crippled nuclear power facility on that country's food and water supply. NPR's Richard Harris in Tokyo says radioactive iodine has been found at one of the city's water purification plants, and authorities there are recommending that infants not ingest tap water.
The levels are quite low of iodine-131 and not a hazard to adults, but children are especially sensitive, especially infants who may do nothing but eat infant formula.
And Harris says that announcement has prompted a run on bottled water in the city.
We were in grocery stores and found it was very hard to find a full bottle of water to buy. People have been rushing to stores to buy them up in case the situation gets worse.
NPR's Richard Harris in Tokyo. Japan's government is now estimating that the damage from the deadly earthquake and tsunami could total more than $300 billion. NPR's John Idstey reports that does not include much of the indirect economic impact.
The huge total would make it the most costly natural disaster in history. The previous record was the $100 billion loss from the Kobe earthquake in Japan in 1995. Damage to homes, roads, factories, and other infrastructure is included in the estimate. If the damage reaches the upper end of the forecast, it would equal about 6% of Japan's total annual output. The estimate does not include the economic losses that will result from the rolling electrical outages caused by damage to the power grid, including the crippled nuclear plant at Fukushima. John Idstey, NPR News, Tokyo.
U.S. and allied warplanes are staging new airstrikes today in Libya, but while the offensive has caused extensive damage to Libya's air defenses and air force, it has done little to reduce attacks on rebel-held cities by forces loyal to Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. Gaddafi is sticking to his defiant stance as he made his first televised remarks since the start of the allied offensive. Gaddafi telling supporters they will be victorious in what he called this historic battle. NPR's David Green is in Tripoli, and he says despite Gaddafi's bravado, the city is quite tense.
What we're sensing from getting away from the government minders who watch over journalists and sort of escaping for bits of time to talk to people, they're very scared. I mean, the police apparatus in this city is still certainly has a grip over people. People say their neighborhoods have battalions who are watching over them so they don't feel like they could openly protest at this point as they did in parts of Tripoli a few weeks ago. But we're hearing for the first time just one person after another say, we're tense, but we're supporting these airstrikes and we eventually want Gaddafi to be out of power.
NPR's David Green in Tripoli. Yemen's parliament has approved a request by the country's president to impose emergency law for 30 days in the face of an uprising demanding his resignation. Ali Abdullah Saleh says he will not step down before the end of the year. This is NPR News. Security forces in Syria have gone on the attack near a mosque where anti-government demonstrators have taken shelter. At least 6 people were killed there today. New data from the Census Bureau show that while there's a population boom underway in cities in the South and West, some major cities in the Midwest are actually losing residents. By far, the worst hit is Detroit. NPR's Alex Kellogg reports that over the past decade, Detroit's population has plunged 25%.
Detroit's population has dropped to the lowest level in a century. Yes, that means 1910. In a sense, it's not alone. Many Rust Belt cities are losing people. Cleveland, Ohio, Indianapolis, Indiana. But Detroit's decline is at a far faster pace. The city lost nearly 250,000 people in the last decade. That's roughly one person every 22 minutes, according to an analysis by the Detroit Free Press. The city's vacant housing rate doubled as well, to nearly 1 out of every 4 homes. Alex Kellogg, NPR News, Washington.
Winds gusting to near hurricane strength have been spreading the flames of a wildfire near Denver. Some residents of the suburb of Golden have been allowed to return to their homes, but even they are being told they may have to leave again. Jeff LeClaire says he's gathered the few things that are most important to him so he can get out quickly if necessary.
I still have the ashes of my wife. I had to get all that out. And, just what's important and what's left.
The wildfire has been burning since Sunday. The high winds forced fire crews to stop using aircraft to dump retardant chemicals on the blaze. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington.